أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة. صدق الله العظيم. We discuss inshallah the first half of verse 19 of Surah An-Nisa. As we have noticed that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is changing the systems, the social life dealings of the Quraysh of Makkah in the time of paganism, and this verse also continues to do the same. In this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about a very abhorred way of life, social life, that the Quraysh used to lead before the advent of Islam. Up to now we had discussed the wealth of the deceased person when he dies, the transfer of the wealth to the rightful owners, which was not being done at that time. Wealth of orphans and women were being usurped. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes this one step further with regards to the abhorred way of life, and that is that not only was the wealth abused, misused, or regarded as the property of individuals, but even the wife, the widow of the individual, was also regarded as the property of the inheritors. So what would happen that if a person left this world, he passed on, then the children, the inheritors of that individual, if it was the sons and it was not from the same mother, in other words, these sons were from other mothers, that one son or sons would become the owner of that widow, or the brothers would become the owner of that widow. And now they will behave as though she is personal property. More especially if she herself was the possessor of wealth. So her own wealth becomes theirs. She becomes theirs. And because she becomes theirs, everything of hers becomes theirs. Sometimes those sons would marry their father's wife. Secondly, those brothers may marry their brother's widow. Or alternatively, they would get her married to someone else and they would then consume the wealth or the mehr that is being received. Or alternatively, they would not allow her to get married at all, and in this way, they will keep her in their, so to say, possession and utilize her wealth, obviously, till she leaves this world. Now we can understand that this is operation of the highest caliber, of the highest degree, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this issue. And Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have brought iman, la yahillu lakum an tarithun nisa'a karha, it is not permissible for you to inherit women by force. Now it was not that if the woman was happy to go into the position, that would have been permissible. But by force means you are now forcing something or somebody to become property, and you are forcing that property to come into your hands, and hence Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala prohibited that. The second portion of the ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks to the husbands and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala addresses them. That in many issues, many times, there is a marriage in place. The husband is not pleased with his wife and he wants to let her go. But he would not let her go until she either returns his mehr to her or he pays her a sum of money. Or alternatively, he will constrain her and he will keep her in the marriage so that he will utilize her wealth till obviously he or she departs from the world. So hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed that behavior of the Quraysh. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ, and do not constrain them, do not bar them to leave or alternatively keep them in your marriage. لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ, so that you may take away some of what you have given them, either in the mehr or any other property that you have given, or for that matter, any of their personal wealth that they had, which you had not given. If you cannot take back what you have given, then far-fetched is to take back what you have not given. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنًا, except that they approach fahisha, promiscuity, mubayyina, that is open. One interpretation of this is that in the Shariat there is the concept of khula. If a woman was at fault in the marriage, she was either disobedient or she was promiscuous or whatever her case may be, and now she wishes to leave the marital home, then in that case, khula will become operative, that for example, whatever mehr the husband had given, the husband now can take the khula back, that mehr back. She will offer it to him, and in this way they will part ways. And some of the commentators say that this portion of the verse was applicable at one point in time in Islam, and then thereafter Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had abrogated it forever. So if the husband, he himself is at fault, and then he wants to take some wealth from her, even in a khula, it is not the best and it is not permissible. He becomes oppressive in that particular aspect of it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, number one, the woman can never be the property of any individual, or rather, no human can become the property of another human in this manner. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the zulm and oppression of restraining or constraining a woman, and for spite, one does not want to give her talaq so that he will make her life miserable, or he wants to then draw from her wealth against her will, and in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes these concepts that were prevalent in the time of Jahiliyyah. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.